Shields up, red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah, that was a warning.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Roger that.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela, and once, when I was grounded from television, my dad left on TNG so I could watch it while I ate supper. I love my daddy, and I am an anomaly.
I'm Jen, and as a little girl, I often employed the Vulcan neck pinch to subdue bullies, and if necessary, younger siblings. It was quite effective. And I am an anomaly.
Hello.
Hello.
Not that we have to tell any of you this, but we really love TNG.
We did. We yes. Do. We do. We still do.
We loved and love. I thought I said love.
I know. I said did.
Oh. So. Currently and always.
Yes. And today is the 25th anniversary of the debut of Star Trek The Next Generation.
I actually remember that day. I think Star Trek 4 had just come out, or 5. The one with the whales. And my parents had seen it, but I hadn't. Which is weird because they took me to Wrath of Khan, which is scarier. And I was very excited because somehow I thought that the movie was coming on TV. And I said to my mom, I'm so excited to finally see this. And my mom was like, this is something new. Oh, okay, well, cool. This is the most awesome thing ever. I love this. But I really have like a vivid memory of, you know, sitting on the floor of my parents' house, getting ready to watch Encounter in Farpoint for the first time. It was exciting for me.
In this episode, we will be talking about what Star Trek means to us, particularly Next Generation, because if you listen to our interview that was on All Things Trek, which we put in the feed a few weeks ago, you would have heard us talk a lot about why we prefer the Next Generation and how nostalgic it is to us. We'll give it a little love today, and then we'll introduce a classic review that we did on Ship in a Bottle, which we did talk about in that interview as well.
And it is definitely a love note. I think it's one of our best episodes. It's well edited. It's cool. That's why we wanted to replay it for you guys. There was a couple things you wanted to add.
Well, we do have a lot of new listeners. I wanted to thank some of the new people that are following us on Twitter that have been tweeting about listening to our show.
Yay, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. We really appreciate the feedback and sharing our links and stuff like that. It's really cool of you guys. Since we have so many new listeners, I want to kind of give a brief history of Anomaly, just so that you know how long we've been around
like
and kind
of
what we're all about. Yeah. We have two shows on this feed. We have Anomaly and we have Anomaly Supplemental.
Yes.
Anomaly was started by Angela and I.
You and me and Jen?
Yes. About 6 years ago.
Well, 7 is when we started recording.
That's right. And it wasn't on iTunes yet, though.
We started on iTunes.
We were just putting it on our website.
Yes, we were
which
just kind
wasn't
of putting it up.
Getting anywhere.
Well, then we did get in on iTunes.
We did.
And that was about a year later.
So we were having a lot of really nerdy conversations at work and listening to podcasts. And at one point, we said, you know, we can totally do that. And at the time, we were listening a lot to Treks and Sci-Fi with our friend Rico Dosti.
Mm-hmm.
And he encouraged us to really get started
thing. And he let us post our little precasts on his forum, which was very cool.
Yeah, so a lot of our audience came originally from Treks and Sci-Fi.
Yeah,
we were kind
so
of
cool.
Like Laverne and Shirley is to Happy Days. That's what we were to Treks and Sci-Fi.
Always embarrassed by some of those first podcasts, but I like
I am. I don't know where the first one is. I honestly don't.
Oh,
it's
I
missing.
Have it
it's not in our archive. We can't find it.
Oh, okay. I need to find it for
it's
you.
It's really embarrassing.
I think it's hilarious.
It's bad.
Sorry.
So anyway, we've almost been on iTunes for about 6 years, and 2 years ago, Angela and I had life-changing experiences. I had a baby and was very busy taking care of a young child. And Angela was battling cancer and going through chemotherapy and not feeling very well. So at that time,
it happens.
Casey and Sue, Casey being a really good friend of ours who lives in the area, and Sue being a podcast listener who wrote in a lot, got together and offered to do supplementary episodes to help us out. And that became a regular show on our feed. So that's how Anomaly Supplemental started. And they've been a part of our show ever since. And we really appreciate all the work they do. And we're glad that you guys are enjoying their shows as well. They basically covered things that we don't have time to touch on.
Right. I mean, what we're talking about is very broad, really, when it comes to fandom. Any situation, any publication, either writing or radio or television, anytime you do this kind of thing, you're never going to cover everything. So you might as well focus on the stuff that you really want to do and let someone else do the other stuff.
And that's
even though they've been twisting our arms to watch Doctor Who for
a long
time.
We have to. It sounds cool, but
I've watched some of it.
Yeah. I just keep watching the really crappy episodes.
Have you watched Blink?
Not yet.
Okay, you need to watch Blink.
Okay, I need to start with that.
Yeah.
That's the one with the weeping angels? Or
yes. It'll creep you out.
Yeah.
I won't lie, because I know it creeps you out, and that will definitely
creep
you out.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like Hush.
They covered Blink. I should listen to that episode and see what it's all about. So anyway, that's the history of Anomaly, and write to us. Say hi. We like hearing from you guys. Okay, so we're talking about TNG and what it means to us and how it has changed television as we know it. Do you want to start?
Oh, God. I mean, it's hard. This is a hard one because it really has been analyzed a lot. So there's not really... There's nothing new.
We're not going to bring anything new to the table here.
No, we're not really bringing too much new to the table. I think, and this is something I brought up recently too, is that not only do I like to watch TNG, but I also really enjoy watching documentaries about it and about Gene Roddenberry. And I don't know if anyone has seen the Captain's interviews. Excellent.
I love those.
Where, and I think is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
It was on Netflix. Shatner goes around and interviews all of the other captains, and it's just fascinating. I mean, there was a point when I was watching the Gene Roddenberry where his son goes around and interviews fans, and I cried. Like, I cried like a baby watching that. So the thing that I think is interesting about TNG as opposed to even TOS and some of the others is that Roddenberry gave a very strange note that he did not want conflict between characters. And this has been something in the last few months that I realized that I think I talked about on the interview. And it is such an interesting thing to me that's, if you watch it with those eyes, like when you rewatch episodes now, thinking that was the direction, that it's true. Towards the end, you get some issues between Worf and Riker because of Troy. But even that, I mean, Troy and Riker, they're like soulmates forever. And I definitely agree with that. Mm-hmm. And the show agrees with that too, because they did eventually get married. But even then, Riker was like, all right, man, you have my blessing, whatever. Even in the most obvious situation, nobody went Melrose Place on each other. Everybody was just like cool with everything or whatever. And you had to throw Q in there. You had to throw Monsters of the Week or Aliens of the Week in there. And I think that was kind of interesting because TOS was very dependent on them having interpersonal conflict.
Spock and McCoy picking on each other.
And everybody being... And I think it was done so well that when Pulaski came on and she started being antagonistic, people didn't like that.
No.
I don't know. I think they trained us really well.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my take.
Yeah, we talked about that in the interview as well. You know, you have a favorite character that everyone loves, and then you have this new person coming and just being rude to that new character. How do you expect an audience to like the new character? What has Star Trek The Next Generation in particular done for you? How did it shape your life? When it came on air, we were both young teenagers, like 11, 12 years old, 13 years old.
Part of it is that I feel like TNG started when I was very emotionally and intellectually aware. I was very aware of the world and how I wanted to be in it. It was just part of my consciousness ever since I can remember having a consciousness, I guess. Does that mean anything? Mm. That sounds weird. And it was weird how it started when I was in seventh grade and then it ended right after I graduated from high school. So it was kind of this coming of age part of my life. This is a story I like too. I have this friend Will this guy I was really good friends with in college. And every once in a while I'd be having a bad day and we'd be like on IM or something. And he would just say, Angela, go watch an episode of Star Trek. And then I'd be like, okay. Because I would have them recorded from syndication or whatever. And I know it sounds kind of like a silly story, but I'll tell you what, I mean, it's almost like a personal form of Prozac or Valium, or it just kind of centers me to watch any episode of Star Trek. Now, a good episode of Star Trek especially, but there's just something about it that's has the same effect on me as like doing yoga or having a glass of wine. Like, I can just sit and watch Star Trek TNG and just be like, yeah, okay.
And chill.
I don't know. Is that weird?
No, it's not. You know what I think it is? Excuse me. You know what I think it is? Like, some people have anxiety attacks. And one of the ways that you bring yourself back down is to have lavender near you, or your mother's perfume, or something that reminds you of a time when you were comfortable and happy.
Yes.
And that helps you to calm down. And sometimes I think that maybe is the case with The Next Generation for you. You were always happy when you were watching it.
Yes.
And so now I think that's why it has
like
that
home
effect on you. It makes total sense. Absolutely, totally.
And I've had fun too introducing it to my husband, because he was never a big Star Trek person, and now he's turned into a Stargate person. That's like his big thing. But when I introduce him to episodes of Star Trek, it's fun for me to kind of watch it through his eyes for the first time, and also it's fun to watch him be completely amazed when I watch about 4 seconds of an episode and I'm able to tell him exactly how it goes. He's always like, "How is that possible?" I don't know, because I just do. It's part of my consciousness.
For me, I think Star Trek taught me how to be diplomatic. Believe me, I get ticked off like anyone else when somebody gets on my nerves or says something that is inflammatory. But before, I had watched maybe 3 or 4 seasons of Star Trek and kind of been kind of trained in how to work things out with people, I guess.
Yeah.
I would just instantly say the first thing that came to my mind. Just tell them what you think.
Yeah.
And now I force myself to think about my response, weigh what they're saying, and think deeply on my response to that in a way that would not be too, what's the word I'm looking for?
Aggressive?
Aggressive, but still firm.
Sure.
Because Picard was never a wuss. He may have been diplomatic, but he was not a wuss. He was firm. He said what was on his mind, but it was always with an ambassador or a diplomat's delivery, if that makes sense.
I love that you say that, because it reminds me of pretty much one of my favorite moments. And I have like a bazillion favorite moments, but do you remember Picard when he had that whole episode where they were dealing with the Shellyak?
he hangs up on him.
Where he hangs up on him and then he goes and like cleans that little plaque.
That was one of my favorite.
And he's like, and it's just the look on they show a shot of everyone kind of reacting.
Looking at one another, like,
and
are
you just like, talk to him. Open channel. Open channel.
See,
I love that.
He had to give himself some time.
Sometimes
you have to get away from the keyboard for a few minutes.
Yep.
You know?
I just love that, though.
It's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Again, it was adolescence. It was a very difficult time. And sometimes it's helpful for kids to have someone, other people to look up to other than just their parents. And I looked up to Captain Picard and Beverly Crusher, and they were just fictitious characters, but they were someone to aspire to, I guess.
Well, sure. I mean, and they were good for the sake of being good. It was a very...
And educated and...
Yeah, it was a very intellectual...
Yeah.
But I liked that. I think that that was good. When you're dealing with all the emotions of being a teenager, I think it's good to have an intellectual outlook somewhere. And that may have shaped who we are in general. I mean, I don't know. I do have to have a confession to make, though. I watched like 5 minutes of some documentary today that happened to be on. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched like this little teeny bit, like maybe 5 minutes. And I was honestly a little frightened by some of the people that ended up on the, as representatives of Star Trek.
The fandom, you mean?
The fandom. I feel bad in a way, because I feel like I'm definitely one of those people. But I also am kind of scared by that much excitement, I guess.
Enthusiasm.
That much enthusiasm, sometimes there's a line. And I definitely...
It must be drawn here.
Yes. And I try to stay on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
But sometimes I need to let myself go to the other side.
Right.
Which brings me to our next topic, unless you were not finished.
No, I'm finished.
I am going to try to stay on this side of the line in about a month because we're going to Comic-Con in Austin. And I have VIP tickets for the Patrick Stewart panel and the Patrick Stewart like meet and greet, autograph, blah, blah, all of that. So hopefully I will be able to maintain some sort of, you know, it's a weird thing to me. And if anyone has advice, please message me or whatever. But I want to be able to be cool enough that I don't act like a total crazy person, but I also don't want to stay so cool that I'm cold. I don't want to act like I don't want to be there. I need to figure out a good way to be able to say, oh my God, I'm such a big fan, I love you, without looking like a crazy person.
Without squeeing.
See, I'm worried about that, though. I guess I have to have literally no alcohol, so I hope it's not a late panel. I hope it's really early in the morning.
No, three beers, Angela. It's really loud.
Well, I know. And so if it happens after a certain point, no, I'm just kidding. I'd be able to restrain myself because I want to be totally with it. So.
Plus, you are going to try to get a bumper.
I'm going to try. We'll see what happens.
You're also meeting a few other actors, but Patrick Stewart's on your list.
Yeah, he's top on my list and I've already paid for him. I'm also going to try for Eliza Dushku and Craig Parker.
And if I can help it, I'm going to try to get a bumper from Gates McFadden.
That'd be awesome.
So how did Star Trek The Next Generation change the way television is written and produced and watched on television?
Well, it was in syndication from the beginning.
But that's not new, though. Star Trek TOS was in syndication for a long time, too.
It was not originally produced in syndication. The original production of TOS was on NBC, just like any other network show.
I thought it was CBS.
CBS owned it, but it was produced for syndication. Even though NBC owned it, in other markets, it was done different times, different channels, depending on who bought it. You can go look it up, because I had an argument with someone in our office about this. And
let me guess, it was Jeffrey.
Yes. And he was right, of course, because he's right on everything.
Darn.
Anyway, and the thing is that he definitely usually is. He's like a suction. He like has all the knowledge
he's
of the universe.
He's one of those people that knows everything.
I think he might be, what's that word, like Sheldon is? I'm not kidding. He never forgets anything. Anyway, but on this particular thing, I was like, I know that it was syndicated. And I looked it up and it definitely was. And it was similar to Gene Roddenberry's, some other things that he did, like Earth Final Conflict and a couple of other things that went straight to syndication. So that's something that's a little different. Explain what you mean.
The two-parter.
Oh, yeah, the cliffhangers.
You know, that happened
the
with
season.
With what? I'm sorry, I'm a bad trekker. The first one I ever saw was the one where Picard became a Borg, and I am Locutus of Borg. Resistance.
Best of Both Worlds, part one.
Yeah,
and two.
I think that's the first one. And then it seemed like every season ended on a cliffhanger. That was different. I was reading an article that Sue sent to me.
Yes, I saw that.
You saw that, yeah. Who was it? Was it Entertainment Weekly?
No, it was the entertainment section of Time Magazine.
Time Magazine was saying that the original TOS was all about romance and action and that was
swashbuckling.
That was the central part of the story and what everyone thought Star Trek was all about. And when Gene Roddenberry made this Star Trek, everyone was like, "What? How can you have Star Trek without Kirk and Spock?" And then the core of Star Trek The Next Generation was more cerebral and teaching you lessons. And
I really liked the line in that article where they were like, they were able to make Star Trek but still something new. And I liked that because that's what brought me in, because I came into it knowing TOS and all the movies.
And the fan base was really
huge. And it was already there.
Yeah.
So I already knew. I mean, there was a reason why I was interested in Star Trek, and it was not because of Picard. I didn't even know who that was.
Yeah.
And then that kind of tipped me to be more interested. So.
And really the franchise was, I think, born with Star Trek,
but
The Next Generation. You know, because after that, you had Deep Space Nine, you had Voyager, you had Enterprise.
Right.
And today we have CSI, you have CSI Miami, you have CSI Las Vegas, you have Law and Order series. Those types of things came from a Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's true. And the iPad.
All the technology, right, that came from The Next Generation, which everyone always talks about.
I got a picture on my Pinterest of it.
Speaking of technology, I heard on the news this week that inventors, and I'm sorry, I don't have the specifics of who invented it. I should as provide that information, but someone has developed a medical tricorder.
Awesome.
That they hope to start using in a couple of years that can actually scan a patient's body, give them vitals, and maybe even scan for cancers without having someone go through like what you had to go through with a whole MRI.
Which I still go through every 6 months.
I have had to do it. It's scary. I had my brain scanned one time because I couldn't keep my balance and they wanted to make sure that I didn't have MS. That was scary. Yeah,
horrible.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, though, anything having to do with your tummy is worse because they make you drink stuff.
Yeah.
Too much information, but... But it does feel very futuristic when you go into one of those things, though, I have to say.
Yeah.
Because it's like this big tube, like, whirring around you and stuff. If you have to do it, you might as well enjoy the silliness of the whole thing.
Well, they're also developing holodeck technology.
I love that.
Microsoft is. It's not nearly where the technology is on the show, but...
The Kinect starts that as well with... Because, you know, part of that is recognizing your movements and how you're interacting with your virtual environment. I think that means it's time to...
Yeah, wrap it up. So on that note, we love Star Trek, The Next Generation. Happy 25th anniversary. Hello, baby. Want to come say hi? And we're going to play a classic episode of Anomaly, Ship in a Bottle. Here it is. We hope you enjoy. Please write to us.
Thank you.
At girlygeeks@gmail.com. You girly can find our... Girly Geeks with a Z at gmail.com.
This is my child. He won't say anything, but he'll make all the noise he can.
Say hi. No, don't touch the mic. Say hi.
Hi.
So anyway, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems. Why don't somebody solve them? Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie.
I thought you said you could hotwire a podcast.
I can, sort of. It would have helped if you'd stolen the correct command codes from him. These are old and suspicious.
Hello again, folks. This is Rico, and you're listening to Treks in Sci-Fi. This is podcast 188 for August the 24th, 2008. Wait a second. I seem to be getting some kind of a static feedback or something. Something's wrong here. I'm not sure. Let me check this out here.
Hurry. He's coming.
Hold on.
Like there's somebody out of my lawn.
Almost got
Hang on a second. Hey, somebody's parked their anomaly on my grass. Get that off my grass. What are you doing? Wait a second. Is that Jen and Angela out there? What are you guys doing? What are you doing to the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast? What's going on?
Got it.
Yay! Kaylee, go get
him. Punch it, Jen. That's the only way to do it. Fire jumbo jet.
But the best looking women that I've ever seen have all been in Texas.
What else you got?
Wearing pink.
Just another girl that wants to rule the world at any time or place. And when she gets into your head, you know she's there to stay.
This is Anomalous Treks in Sci-Fi. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And if you haven't already noticed, we're taking this show on a joyride. Slow down, Jen. You almost hit a microcast.
I know what I'm doing. This week, we're reviewing the sixth season of Star Trek, The Next Generation's episode, Ship in a Bottle. And I'm doing a collectible review of the Cantina band, Gentle Giant Bust Up. At the end of the show, we'll hear from some of our partners in crime from the Treks and Sci-Fi Forum.
Let's go!
This just in, it seems that two sci-fi geek-type ladies, commonly referred to as anomalies or socially functional fangirls, have stolen the Geekmeister Rico Dosti's Treks in Sci-Fi Podmobile and are traveling down the internet at this moment. Please be advised they are armed with phasers and are extremely jovial. Don't approach them unless you use the Vulcan hand salute. It was originally reported that Romulan ale was a factor and involved, but sources close to KTRK say that these two anomalies are responsible and would never get behind the controls of a Starfleet vehicle while under the influence of any mind-altering substance. Of course, if it were a mind-altering alien, that would be a completely different subject. But I digress. Well, now back to your original programming, right here on KTRK.
Hey there, you're listening to
KTRK, At This World Radio.
Beaming up news, information, and the latest sci-fi hits.
Hey, it's time for our episode review of Ship in a Bottle with Angela and Jen right here on Treks and Sci-Fi KTRK.
Now that we have control over Rico's podcast, we are doing a review of the season 6 TNG episode called Ship in a Bottle, which is actually a follow-up to the season 2 episode called Elementary Dear Data, where Dr. Pulaski and Geordi asked the holodeck to create an adversary worthy of Data. My gosh, I was doing so good. We turned off everything else.
We can leave that in. Oy. As an homage to Rico, whose phone rings.
Yeah, Rico's
phone. But then there's
the
microwave, too.
Oh, honey, please get the lasagna out. It's ready.
Oh, it's Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Is that how Jim talks? Jim has a lower voice than Dave.
I don't know why he did it.
Okay. All right. We are doing a review of the episode Ship in a Bottle, which is season 6. It's towards the middle of season 6. And the episode is actually a follow-up to a season 2 episode called Elementary Dear Data, where Dr. Pulaski and Geordi ask the holodeck to create an adversary worthy of Data. Then the character of Professor Moriarty is inadvertently given consciousness and access to the ship's controls. At the end of that episode, Moriarty is put into memory storage with the assurance that Picard would figure out a way to get him off the holodeck. Also in that episode, he threatens the ship and all this stuff happens, and then finally they have to talk him down. But Picard, with his excellent
skills as a diplomat and a negotiator,
is able to talk him down. And then Ship in a Bottle begins with Barclay finding the Moriarty file while doing a repair on the holodeck. The episode is basically Moriarty continuing his efforts to become real. And that's it. End podcast. Just kidding. Let's talk about what we liked about the episode.
Okay.
So when we first decided to do the episode, and it had been on Sci-Fi recently and both of us had seen it, and we went back. Some of us more than others.
You saw it, what, 3 times in a row in one evening?
Well, I was trying to get the baby to sleep. And so I just kept letting it play on the DVR. And so watched it while I rocked the baby. That's what happens. That's the one thing you can do while you're rocking a baby is watch TV.
Watch Star Trek.
And can I just say that no matter what Star Trek episode I'm listening to or I'm watching, it just makes my heart happy, you know? Like, doesn't TNG just make your heart happy?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Even bad Star Trek is good Star Trek.
Whoa. I don't know. Spock's brain was pretty painful.
Oh, well. Never mind. Okay, I won't go there.
We digress.
All right, so what do you like about the episode?
I really liked the philosophical question.
And what?
Which makes something or someone sentient.
Yeah, or real.
Or real. Star Trek's always accused of being a cerebral, they quote Rene Descartes, you know, I think, therefore I am. And they bring up mind over matter. And I think that Jung had something written about that.
Yes, that mind over matter is a philosophical term. Yeah. And also, they use it in the Olympics a lot, I hear.
Really?
Mind over matter. No, I'm not kidding. I think that that is the thing. It's that it's a mind over body. Your mind thinks over the limitations of your body in order for your body to excel.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. I think I read that somewhere. Don't ask me to say where.
Okay.
Well, I like it because it's a Barkley episode.
Woot.
A. It's a holodeck gone wrong episode, which is always super fun. And there's costumes in it. Period costumes. There's a cool twist. And Data. It's kind of a Data episode. Not
and we
exactly.
both really like Data. And we both episodes.
Anytime there's a Data episode, we really like that. So that's what I
humor.
Like. And right now we have it playing on mute in the background. And the part that one of the parts that I like the best is the scene with the Countess,
mm-hmm. Bartholomew,
who is Moriarty's love interest. He is also trying to get her off of the holodeck as well, and so Picard goes to try to negotiate with her instead of Moriarty, and they have the greatest conversation.
Yes, I agree.
And what does she say to him? I can tell that you are a man who always gets what he wants.
And she's very right.
Well, and also, what's the cool twist that happens?
Oh, the holodeck and the holodeck.
Right.
Yeah.
So Moriarty creates
a holodeck inside of the holodeck that Picard, Barkley, and Data are duped.
Right.
And thinking that it's the real ship.
Right.
All of the crew in
the ship
the holodeck
is really the holodeck.
Yes.
A ship in a holodeck, as it were. So that's what's interesting. But the one thing that I don't like about that is that it's the kind of episode where you wish you could watch it again for the first time. Because it's fun when you watch
it the first time around.
And you're like, oh, cool. But then when you watch it again, you're like, well, I know that the twist is happening. But then you kind of forget, like, when does it happen? Because they're in the holodeck now? Or when are they in the holodeck? And you realize they're in the holodeck as soon as
they come to meet Moriarty on Baker Street.
When they first meet him, and then he walks out onto the quote-unquote ship, which is really still the holodeck.
Yeah.
And thus begins my problems with this episode. So if you want to talk about anything else you like, then we'll start our...
Let's start our little rant.
Okay. Unfortunately, when we both of us watched this, we started talking this morning before we came to do the podcast. And we realized that, not that we don't like the episode, but that we found a lot of problems with the episode, that it's not really one of the best written. Conceptually, I think both of us really like it.
Yeah.
Conceptually,
awesome.
But we don't know that of all of the Star Trek episodes that we know and love, that it's one of the best executed for lots of reasons. What's one of yours?
When Moriarty is reactivated.
Yeah.
And he notices the passage of time. He has been in storage for 4 years.
Right.
When he asks to see Picard, and Picard says, well, we've had the best minds in Starfleet working on how you've become sentient. Why was the hologram still on the Enterprise? If they had the best minds in Starfleet working on it,
right.
Would they not have the program
in question and given it to
and,
them?
You know, yeah, activate him, talk to him, figure right. him out. Why would it still be on the Enterprise? And the other question I had regarding that is, Picard is a very caring person, very philosophical. I find it hard to believe that he would willingly backburner this guy who was sentient for so long
because
and never pay him another thought.
And we think
thought.
Back to one of my big things when he argues about Data and Measure of a Man.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is new life. We've found it. You know, finding new life is a huge thing to him.
And there he sits.
And there, oh, don't say it. It'll make me cry. I get very emotional when we talk about Measure of the Man. So, no, but he gets very emotional about that. And he's very serious about it. But it's kind of against, you're right, it's kind of against his character to just put him in storage. To his defense, though, let's say he wasn't meaning to ever have anyone work on him. I really think that when he put him in storage,
he didn't realize he would notice the passage of time.
Yeah,
and the other thing is, Picard was a little busy in between season two and season
six. Oh, yeah. He was abducted by the Borg and the Cardassians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe. Maybe he could have.
Do you ever see that show on E! And think that it's Cardassians, even though it's the Kardashian?
What? I don't watch E!
There's going to be people who know what I'm talking about.
Not on this
But
podcast.
Every time they advertise it, it's this stupid reality show about this horrible girl. I mean, you look like if you touch her, you might get some kind of disease. But she's in a family called the Kardashians. And every single time I see it, I'm like, you mean the guys that with the scales that look like? Yeah, no. The aliens? The Kardashians?
Okay.
Rico told us to make this an hour, and we're going really fast.
Talk about off-roading there.
Our podcasts are usually 30 minutes because we talk very quickly.
Yeah.
Because we're women, maybe. Those women.
Well, that's not the end of the talk about
no,
it.
No, I know. Okay. I was just non-sequiturying in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to add on to the end. So that way everyone's kind of confused, and then we'll get back to it, and they'll be like, oh, okay, they're talking about Star Trek again.
Gotcha.
Like, now. Go.
And go.
Okay, so what else? So that was that he was in storage, and we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or that Picard just wasn't paying attention to that.
The other thing is, would Data be tricked into thinking that he was on the actual ship when he was in fact in the holodeck? Is that possible? I mean, in the episode, it is obviously.
Well, yeah.
Since he thought he, but knowing that he is a computer in a sense himself,
mm-hmm.
would the surroundings that he was in fool him?
Well, to me, the whole thing, as soon as he steps off of the holodeck onto the ship, that's when it's like, that seems like it would be, because all he says is, well, guess we got to get you checked out by the doctor now. I mean, something that is not physically possible has just happened, and everyone seems pretty nonplussed about it. I mean, this is like complete miracle, something
he called it a miracle.
Completely wrong. Yeah, but he's just like, what a miracle. Isn't this a great miracle? It's like, this is a miracle.
It's like
light shining down from the heavens.
Gamma quadrant golf clap.
I know, but that's all we get is the golf clap. I mean, this should be, like, he should be contacting people in Star... I mean, he should be trying... And the thing is like, if he tried to contact people in Starfleet, and then also, look who he's brought to this real world. I mean, this person...
Barclay?
And he says, yeah, poor Barclay, but he even says when he takes him to 10 forward and they're talking,
mm-hmm.
That he is, you know, that criminal activity, and Picard seems to know what a dangerous person he is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even the girlfriend calls, the Countess calls him ruthless. I mean, and that's how he's written, that's how the character is, and all of his actions, you know, seem to be, I don't care about you. You know, and I'm going to do anything I can to get what I want. And yeah. I don't know. I also seem to think that they maybe need to update their, you know, security protection to maybe...
Get some virus protection.
Get some virus protection if AVG. A holodeck program can that easily take over. And that was another thing with me was that, you know, of course, he says he has control of the ship, even though it's not the real ship. And he keeps saying this until... Picard gets his access codes. And you can only imagine that he's programmed the Geordi character to get the access codes from Picard.
Yeah.
But
that's the point at which he hotwires the Enterprise, as we have hotwired this podcast.
Right.
But he has really only had control over the holodeck until that point.
Right. But before that, shouldn't Picard have been a little more upset about him actually getting... Now, at that point, he has Picard's command codes, and of course, he's going to be able to get a hold of the ship. So the only time that made any sense as far as getting command codes away from the actor, or from the actor, from the captain, is when he does it himself, like he did in the second part of the episode,
mm-hmm.
or in that episode where Data runs away and he's able to do the voice command.
Yeah.
Okay, but before that, why didn't they, like, think that it was weird... You know, they just accepted the fact that he took over the ship. There was the one scene where he asked the pretend Geordi that he didn't know was the pretend Geordi. This is a very confusing episode to talk about. He asked the pretend Geordi to try to find a way to
get the codes back.
Get the commands back. Mm-hmm. But how did he get in that case? Why didn't they think about how did he get him in the first place? And it just doesn't seem like the holodeck could fool them for that long. You know, I mean, because mm-hmm. obviously a couple days have passed, so all three of them have gone to their quote unquote quarters and had a nap
in the holodeck.
In the holodeck, you know, and it's like, okay. Come on.
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Please,
here.
No, yes. Go.
You're always telling me it's a TV show.
I know.
Suspend your disbelief.
I agree.
This is one of those episodes where you have to do that to enjoy the story.
I agree.
I mean, it's not that big a deal, I don't think.
True. But then also, this is a crew that has defeated the Romulans.
And the Borg.
And the Borg. And they've gone toe-to-toe with Cardassians.
And Q.
Q. They're even able to not necessarily outsmart. They're able to talk down Q, at least. And they have to give in to the... They have to... I mean, now, granted, yes, in the end, they were able to figure it out and outsmart him. But I don't know. I guess also, too, like, Moriarty's one of those characters where I don't want him to get his way. I don't want him to think he's getting his way. I just want him deleted. Do you feel that way too?
No. I liked
Delete.
Him. I liked Moriarty. Okay. And I was very... Are we ready to talk about what happened in the end?
Sure. Yes, please.
I was very annoyed that the way they handled the situation was they stuck him in a little cube with a program.
That's super
so
technology.
He thinks that he's still... You know, so that he thinks he succeeded
in
and he's
universe.
In the real universe exploring the universe.
Ignorance
they
is
didn't
bliss,
even
baby.
Try to, they didn't really even try to actually get him out of the holodeck.
Because they can't.
Well, they could have. Look at what happened on Voyager. They have a holo emitter that allows the EMH, the doctor, to
but
move
this
about
is
the ship.
Several years later.
Yes.
Like, just to move about the ship, but.
You have to believe that they are experimenting with that technology in the meantime.
True. But
I mean, I don't know when that came about.
Again, we go back
Voyager,
to,
but.
Yeah, if he's performing a necessary function, if he wants to help, that's a good reason. If it's a doctor, that's a good reason to have somebody
roam about the ship.
Roam
freely.
About the ship. But somebody who's very likely to kill you is look at you. No. I don't know that I want him roaming around the ship.
That way. They've stressed that over and over again.
That's
they
how
didn't
he's written.
Say that he was really a murderer.
I don't care that that's how he's written.
I
that's
believed
in
him.
His DNA. It's in his... I don't know.
Well, didn't you like the Countess Bartholomew?
I did like her.
Did you not believe that she deserved a chance at being
sure,
a real
but she's
person?
Like some of the friends that I went to college with who insisted on dating guys that were not good for them. Like Casey. We have a guest person with us. She's just listening.
She's just listening.
But there are several girls, very nice, intelligent girls that I know personally who went out with guys who were not necessarily the best for them and were actually quite mean jerks.
So they deserve to be stuck in a cube and made to believe that they were exploring the universe.
Yes,
when in
if
fact,
you take the chance,
they're in storage.
If you take the chance of dating somebody like that... You deserve what you get.
Okay, well,
don't come crying to me.
Then what happened to the cube? Because
the jerk
as we
that
know,
broke up with another guy, another girl to come date me. Oh, now he's cheating on me. Well, what did you expect? I'm just saying.
I don't think Moriarty ever cheated on Countess Bartholomew.
Well, I do agree with that, but I'm just using it as
in
he context.
Was in love with her. Now,
I do agree that he was in love.
What
with
happened
her.
To the cube? Because as we know, the Enterprise D was destroyed.
Okay, this is where you go way too far.
Because I don't believe that they ever sent that cube back to the Starfleet scientists
then it's just
to study.
Deleted. It's just deleted.
Why though?
It's
they
just gone.
They had something unique, a sentient hologram. Why would they shove it in a box and forget about it? Why wouldn't they send it back to Starfleet
you
to
know
study?
Why? Because Ron
you
Moore
just don't like him.
Ron Moore was one of the co-producers of this show. And I blame him for most of the inconsistencies in Battlestar. And thus, I'm blaming him for this. Done and done. Oh, or we could blame Dr. Pulaski.
It's all her fault.
All her fault. Dr. Pulaski is fun to blame.
Fun to blame.
Fun to blame. Oh, man.
We're sorry.
We're just going really fast. You're going to have to slow this down in post.
Well, believe me, there are a lot of things to fill in in between.
Okay, good. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to make this last.
Oh crap! The cops are on our tail.
What?
I'm gonna cloak.
Okay.
I think we've lost them.
Okay.
Suckers.
Suckers. That was good. Oh, I'm not allowed to laugh.
You can laugh.
Okay. I've gotten in trouble for laughing before. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in Data. It seemed like Data was off his game. You know? It really did. It seemed like it was off his game.
Because you let a hologram trick him.
Yeah, kind of. But at the same time, if he was programmed to trick Data, you know, then that makes sense. Then that means he's that bad. But this is what we never really resolved. It's just that I just don't... Regardless of how it was, if he was written that way, he still ended up that way. It's like saying, oh, the poor murderer had a bad childhood. Well, I'm sorry he had a bad childhood, but he's still a murderer, so he needs to go to jail. He's capable of murder still. I mean, he's still capable of all kinds of horrible things. Let him do it in the virtual universe instead of the real universe.
He's a fictional character.
I don't care.
That stuff didn't really happen.
Well, Star Trek didn't really happen.
Well, let's put him in jail because he's a lefty.
Hmm?
Because all bad guys are lefties, according to this episode.
So are the presidents.
The man he accused of...
is a lefty?
In the hologram at the start of the episode, that he accused of killing his brother and making it look like a suicide and writing the note with his left hand was a lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Moriarty, lefty. The fake Geordi, lefty.
And... I think it's like 60% of the presidents ever all left-handed.
Were they good presidents?
I don't know.
Or bad presidents?
I think it's just in general. I don't know that there was... And isn't it kind of subjective who's a good president and who's a bad president?
I guess.
There are no good presidents. All politicians are bad. You can take that out of the podcast. Because I could go on. Anyway, what else you got?
I think that's it. On this episode?
On this episode?
Yes.
I think we did pretty good.
I liked it. Overall, I liked it, and I had fun picking it apart.
I did, too. Thank you for letting us come on the show, Rico.
We're not done yet.
You
always try to prematurely end our episodes.
I always say thank you, and I'm not supposed to.
Stop saying thank you.
Thank you.
Oh. Don't be so thankful.
Okay. That's the only way to do it.
Yep.
Hey, weather calling for sunny skies today all across the Midwest. Highs in the upper 80s, lows in the 50s. Okay, well, the hits just keep on coming. Here's the latest geeky goodness on KTRK. It's a guy named Rick Moyer with the latest Star Trek parody song, Move Over, Jim Croce. Here's Ship in a Bottle on KTRK.
There is a woman, the Countess Regina Bartholomew. She was created as a holodeck character for one of Commander Data's programs.
If I could watch Ship in a Bottle, the show with James Moriarty, I'd laugh at Barkley as he stutters to say, you're aware this just can't be. If I could make photons be solid, the first thing that I'd like to do is to help James make Regina for real, and then again she could be human too. But the Heisenberg compensators won't do the things I want to do once I enhance them. I've tried real hard enough to know it's just not really possible on the holodeck.
Professor, I wonder why you're in so much of a hurry. Is this woman involved with you in some illegal venture? Your computer designed her to be a person of impeccable integrity.
If I could play Holmes like old Data, and Geordi would be Watson too, I'd fix the holodeck so things could be perfect just so they could spend time just the two.
But to make things right, we hack a fool and use his ruse to save the duo and help them. So we'll stick them in a fake shuttle so they can go where they want to go for a lifetime.
Isabella,
can we go back to Earth someday?
Of course, my dear. Of course.
You're listening to KTRK Radio. Radio that's out of this world.
Hey, Starfleet officer, are you having a rough time creating reality? Has spaceflight got you down for the count? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Chief O'Brien's Heisenberg Compensators. Yes, that's right. Your personal compensator to make your holo dreams reality. Just set these enhancers in a trimetric position around your holodeck item and beam away. Impress your captain. Amaze your friends with Chief O'Brien's Heisenberg Compensators. 35 strips of gold-pressed latinum plus beaming and handling. Ship-to-ship communication to Data's Deals, Utopia Planitia, Starfleet Docking Station 12. Chief O'Brien's Heisenberg Compensators. Your fantasy, our reality. Let them materialize today.
First I was afraid. I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong.
Hello, everyone. Just listen to this special sci-fi music collection of the century. You've heard him in the cinema. You've heard him on your home theater. Yes, it's Frank the Singing Alien Pug from Men in Black. In addition, you'll hear the divas, Jen the True Elf and Angela the One Who Laughs, singing the all-time hit Where My Heart Will Take Me from Star Trek Enterprise. This is a must-have for your very own music collection.
Getting from there to here.
It's been a long time, but my time is finally here.
I will see my dreams come alive at last.
I will touch the sky.
Don't even remember the best.
No, hold me down. No, no. No, they're not gonna change. Okay. Cause I've got faith of the heart.
Act now. No. You'll also enjoy the wit, soul, and the mystery of Rick Moyer. Sit back. Crank it up, and the mastery, the gold sound of Rick, will rock you to the stars.
Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, uniforms. On TA to some miners, Jail, Harry, and Fly, the Enterprise, the Enterprise, the Enterprise. That's the ship.
The Borg, they're blown up all. Ain't no sound but the sound of space. And from the cube there comes a ball. Can you hit it? Can you hit the ship? Can your scanners do the trick? Out of time, the distortion takes.
Be sure to hurry, as this is a limited-time offer, available only for the 23rd century. Yes, it's the Treks in Sci-Fi Music Collection. You will not find it in stores, and it's only $19.95 plus shipping and handling if you act now. Call 206-202-1548 right now. Call 206-202-1548. Operators are standing by.
Okay, because I've got faith.
The special offer brought to you by Bartok Music Industries. Shipping and handling fee of $23.95 added. Credit card or PayPal at $11.95. No refunds or replacement, even if Bartok Music Industries neglects to include the disc.
Strength. Hey there, you. Are you on shore leave? Do you fancy coming over to my bar? It's Finnegan's Bar on 2267 Bruce Ma Street. I'll show you a good time, and maybe you can kind of make up for things. Hey, Jimmy boy.
Hey there. You're listening to
KTRK at This World Radio.
Beaming up news, information, and the latest sci-fi hits.
All right, Treks and Sci-Fi fans, here is a collectible review with Jen and Angela right here on KTRK, Treks in Sci-Fi.
I'm not a big collectible person. Don't have a lot of things that collect dust, but I do like Star Wars. And I do have a desk that doesn't have very much on it. And so I've recently been getting some Star Wars bobbleheads and got quite a few of those. And then recently I bought some
Gentle Giant's bust-ups. The first set I purchased was the Cantina Band, which I really like. They're about 3 inches tall, and I had to assemble them, which wasn't too hard. It was like the old models you snap together, and that was pretty easy. What was funny was, after I received them and I opened the package and started putting them together, my husband went over to the CD player and put the Cantina song in while I was putting it together. I didn't even know he was going to do that, and totally made the project more enjoyable. But if you are an anomaly or a socially functional fangirl and you don't really like toys or models or things like this, but you enjoy the genres, I would suggest trying to get maybe one or two of these little sets for your desk if you have a desk at home, or maybe for, you know, your home office or something. They're really fun to look at, and I have a lot of coworkers who are not into anything geeky, Star Wars or Star Trek. And I constantly have people coming over to my desk and going, oh, how cute. Wow, that's weird. But they like them. They want to look at them. And the painting on these little things, the treatment is really well done, which was surprising because I thought, you know, I bought them from Entertainment Earth and they were like 11 bucks. I wasn't expecting much, but the detail's really good. The hardest thing to do was put the little instruments in their hands and you snap them together. That was difficult. They have little tiny holes in their mouths that you have to slip the mouthpieces of the instruments into, and sometimes they don't fit. They didn't have any type of instructions, so I wasn't really sure what end of the instrument went into their mouths and what didn't. Of course, the clue was the fact that the mouthpiece was very slender and it fit in there, but, you know, some of them don't have mouthpieces, and I wasn't real sure what the function of them was, what they were set, you know, how to set them up. I had to look at the box, and then, you know, the logo was over the top of the picture. But anyway, and in case you don't know, the Cantina Band was Fingerin' Dan and the Modal Nodes. And let's see, they showed up in the EU in Tales of Mos Eisley, which was written in 1995 by Kathy Tears. They show up in a story called We Don't Do Weddings. If you haven't read that book, I suggest that you read it, because it's a quick read and you can pick and choose between stories. That's it for my collectible review.
You're listening to KTRK Radio. Radio that's out of this world.
Hey, you tired of being on away missions with a Type 1 phaser? Well, not anymore, buddy. Oh, no. Well, now you, yes, you can have a Type 2 phaser. That's right. You, too, can have this large sidearm type phaser. It's sleeker, it's compact, and it's yours for only $24.95. Don't be just a normal red shirt. Be a Type 2 red shirt. Available now from all good stockists. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, time for the school lunches on KTRK. Today at Starfleet Academy, we'll be serving up Nebula nachos and Gorn goulash. Andorian blue beans and Vulcan applesauce will be served as well. Don't forget for dessert, those nicely, brightly primary colored food cubes. Of course, for only one strip of gold-pressed latinum, you can get the nutrient injection hyposprayed, and you don't even have to put anything in your mouth. That's the school lunches. Let's get back to more Out of This World Radio, KTRK.
Angela and Jen want to hear from you. Call 432-363-4742 and leave them a message. To find the Anomaly recording schedule, blog Geek Emporium, and fan forum, visit anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Club.
We like stars. All the stars in the sky. Especially the stars you give us on iTunes. To us, you are the biggest star in the cosmos. Go to iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks.
You can hear Anomaly on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, iPad, Android phone,
BlackBerry, or Palm phones on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You can also catch the latest episodes of our favorite shows on Stitcher. Podcasts like Take Him With You, Tales from the Mouse House, Waffle On, Upper Memory Block, Treks in Sci-Fi, Ladies of Leet, and much more.
Visit AnomalyPodcast.com. That's AnomalyPodcast.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Episodes of the podcast All Things Trek.
Our continuing mission to discuss strange Trek topics.
To seek out new thoughts and new Star Trek ideas.
To boldly rage where no one has raged before.
Tune in every week for the All Things Trek podcast, where we talk about everything related to Star Trek, from my favorite episodes to why Neelix should have been kicked off the ship in Voyager's first episode. Look for us at allthingstrek.com and on iTunes. Until then, remember, resistance is futile.
Hi, this is Chris.
And this is Rick. And we're the hosts of the Ragtag Fugitive Podcast.
We're celebrating the original Battlestar Galactica series, and we're doing that by watching an episode in total and commenting on it as it runs.
And you know what's really fun about it is we're attempting to bring guest hosts in with us so that we can talk kind of like that mystery science theater kind of thing. And sometimes we make a little fun of the episode, and sometimes we talk about how cool it is, so you just never know what you're going to get when you listen.
Yes. So come and join us. We're on iTunes. You can find us by searching for Ragtag Fugitive Podcast, and we're on the Stitcher Radio Network.
You also can visit our cool website and make comments and have fun looking around in the officer's lounge and all that jazz by going to Ragtag Fugitive Podcast.
You have our word as a warrior.
Word as a warrior? Plank down your cubits and come on over and let's play a game of pyramid. The Ragtag Fugitive Podcast.
By your command.
Are you a fan of the award-winning web series The Guild? Then join us for Knights of the Guild podcast, their official fan podcast. But it's not like your typical fan podcast, as the host Kenny has been working on The Guild since season 2. And takes his listeners behind the scenes with exclusive interviews, special guest hosts, little-known behind-the-scenes facts, and so much more. So come on over to iTunes and download Knights of the Guild podcast, or find us online at knightsoftheguild.com.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek Episode Analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Hello, I'm Greg, host of a podcast called Inappropriate Conversations. The show is breaking down barriers about discussing politics, sex, and religion. Society says we should keep them separated. I say come out and play. You'll find Inappropriate Conversations on iTunes in the politics section or at inappropriateconversations.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hello there, my name is Meds.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
Alright, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the presenters... Mark?
Alright, get on with it.
Okay. And we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast. And we like to talk about...
crap.
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move on from that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at the http://... waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
Oh, I'm not.
Have you ever wanted to share something with someone just because?
Well, we do a lot. So we started a podcast about, well, whatever we want. My name is Joyce.
And I'm her lovely husband, Al. Well, you know what I mean. And we're the hosts of the Disneyland podcast, Tales from the Mouse House.
And the Amazing Race podcast, Fast Forward.
And I'm one of the co-hosts of the MASH 4077 podcast. And you'd think with all of these podcasts, we'd run out of things to share. But then you'd be wrong. In our new show, Just Because, we're going to share all the things that, well... just don't fit into any of our other podcasts.
Yep, like videos of our puppy Kate as she plays with the water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some episodes chatting about one of our favorite TV shows.
Like Lost?
Uh-huh. Or maybe an audio play Al has written.
And we'll even have episodes contributed by others who have something to share but just don't want to start their own podcast. You never know what you'll find on this show. Why?
Just because... visit us at justbecausepodcast.com and
in iTunes.
Just Because.
Music by JewelBeat.com.